I'm going to call the ushers up at this time, and we're gonna take up our offering. And I believe this is just as important part of our worship experience as just singing unto the Lord, to give a part of what God has given us and to return it to Him. So, Father, I pray blessing on gift and giver here today in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ushers take up the offering, I'm wondering how many of you, not last week, but the week before, actually went through the Matthew 25 challenge. How many of you actually did it? You know what? It's great to see that the preteens did it. Bless you guys. How many of you guys actually slept on the ground? Wow. Okay, I want you to know that we were in Mexico during that week, and it was kind of hard to do the Matthew 25 challenge. For those that don't know what it was every day there was a different challenge to relate to those in third world countries that don't have what we have. And one of the days was we were supposed to sleep on the ground. Now, I didn't make it through the night, but I did make it through part of the day. See, because I was in Mexico, and I laid down on the sand. Now, that's the ground. And I actually fell asleep on the ground, the sand. That counts, right? Right? Does anybody think? Okay. I'll try again. The other one was you're supposed to be, part of it was you're supposed to wear the same clothes you wore the day before. I had no problem with that when I was in Mexico. I have no problem with that anyway, but I had no problem with that when I was in Mexico because I just put on the same swim trunks from the day before. It was great. I did it all week, actually, so I really got connected with, I don't think that's really what was in mind there, but I think it's important that we understand we are blessed. We are so incredibly blessed here in our country, and we need to make it a point to understand what other people go through. We're going through a series right now called Breaking the Barriers, and it's looking at what are our issues that keep us from connecting to those outside of the church walls. What are some barriers that we have erected ourselves that keep us from actually experiencing a relationship with others? Well, I want to talk about something today that I got to tell you is not an easy one to talk about. Let me start by with a little bit of an illustration. So a number of years ago, when I was still living in Chilliwack, on a Sunday morning, I preached there in the church. And during that week, I found that there was a bunch of people that had been sitting on the front steps of the church. And they had been drinking. So they left their beer cans there. So what I did is I grabbed one of these beer cans and I brought it on the church on a Sunday morning. I set it down in a pulpit and I said, folks, I want you to understand the people that are not serving Jesus are not being drinking beer. It means that you're not serving Jesus, but the people that aren't serving Jesus are right on our doorstep. For example, they're here on our doorstep during the week and they're drinking. We just need to bring them in. And it was interesting because at that time, one of the board members came to me and said, those that aren't serving Jesus, they keep the beer outside of the church. You bring it in. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, the point is, it is in the church. There are gray issues that are in the church, and for some people, that is very much a gray issue, drinking or not. But there are other things that are gray issues that are in the church. And here's the thing, the gray issues, and I'm not talking about black or white issues. I'm not talking about black issues, things that we know that are very much wrong. You go out and kill somebody, that's not a good thing. How many of you know that? It's black. You go out and you commit adultery, that's not a good thing. That's black. You go out and do something positive, that's white. We're talking about the things in between that are they right, are they wrong? The Bible doesn't really talk about it. And those are the things that I want to talk to you about this morning. It's interesting, as a kid, as a teen especially, I grew up thinking one of the great issues for me, I know, don't laugh too much, but one of the great issues to me was listening to secular music. Non-Christian music. I even had an issue if I had a back then. Remember they used to have these things that are called records? Anybody remember those things? I used to have records, and if I had a Christian record and it didn't use the word Jesus, I'd toss it out. Because, you know, that's not, that's great, that's wrong. right? So that was a great issue. I'll talk more about that in a second. And I thought about great issues, and I thought, you know, we have them. And so what I did for fun is I asked my kids, because they're at a different age than I am, I asked them, what are some great issues that they see? And I won't say who said what, but here are some of the things that they consider great issues in the church today. A great issue is going to nightclubs, it's drinking, it's dancing, it's tattoos, Christian vaping, medical marijuana. I'm just giving it to you. I'm just giving it to you. Medical marijuana, non-gender clothing, in other words, men wearing skirts, cursing that doesn't insult God or religion. Others are watching R-rated movies, telling white lies, making fun of their pastor. Now, let me tell you, that is not a gray issue. That's black, okay? But I want to talk about the gray issues, and I want us to look at a portion of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to read the whole chapter, and I ask Eileen to come up here and read this for us, because I don't have my glasses and I can't even see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word here this morning, please.
Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called idols, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is only but one God and the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall.
Thank you. Father, thank you that your word is very relevant to us today, though it's been written so many years ago. And this issue, Lord, of what these gray issues, I pray in your precious name that as we spend some time and look at this portion of Scripture, and as we spend some time here this morning just looking at how we apply it to ourselves, would you make it real to us? And would you show us how we can relate to those outside of these walls, to those that may do things a little bit different than us, that we would show love and concern and empathy, Father, that we would truly understand in a way that honors you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So here's the thing. The way we deal with gray issues will in many ways either set up a barrier or will cause a bridge to be made between us. And I want us to talk about this creation. First of all, I want us to look at the barriers here. And in the first part, it says, now food sacrifice idols, we know that all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. In other words, in this situation here, there was a problem. And the problem was this. In that time, there was a whole bunch of different types of idolatry. And what would happen was people would go to a temple and they would worship these other gods. And what they would do is they would bring an animal to the temple. They would sacrifice this animal. They would take the fat. They would burn up the fat. They would burn up certain parts of it. And they would be left with the meat. And then this meat would go into McDonald's or would go onto the markets, and you could buy it. It would be cheaper, right? It wasn't kosher. Okay, so you could buy this stuff, and me being a good German, I probably would have bought this stuff because it's cheaper, right? But see, what happened was this. There were other people in the church, they saw this, and they're thinking, wait a minute, how could you eat that stuff? It was offered to an idol, and you can't go and eat something that was offered to an idol. And what happened was in the church, there was a division that was made between those people who said, I don't see a problem with eating this stuff, and others said, what are you doing? And there was conflict. I hate conflict. Anybody with me? Don't like conflict. And there was conflict, but what happened was this. Those that said, man, we can eat this, they said, man, you guys are weak. You guys, and they kind of looked down at them and said, we're strong like bull. We can do whatever we want. And this was a problem. Now, how does that relate to us? There is not too many of you that go out and offer an animal to an idol and burn the fat. And it doesn't happen too much in our day and age. But it is something that we need to think about. And it's really not about food. See, because the truth is that if you look at Scripture, Jesus himself said that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean, because it goes into his stomach. It doesn't go into his heart, it goes out into his stomach, and it can't make him unclean. Now, I would challenge Jesus on this, and I know you're going, what? Challenge Jesus? I think there is some food that's unclean. I'll give you an example. So one of my kids, she ordered something, some food, and I think it's unclean. I don't think this is the kind of food that we should have. So I brought it here this morning, and it's up for grabs. If anybody wants it, you can have it for a small price, okay? She ordered whole roasted crickets. Apparently, this is food. Apparently, you can. Now, I would consider that unclean, okay? I would consider it something that I wouldn't eat. But the problem with our situation here is not so much about food. It might be about a gray issue that we are facing in our life and in our environment. I'll give you an example. I don't like smoking. I don't think smoking is a good thing. I think it's unhealthy. I think that it can be addictive. But see, the Bible doesn't condemn it. Has anybody read in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not smoke? Hezekiah chapter 5 verse 6 may say it, but that's it. Now, there's no Hezekiah in the Bible, just so you know. But it doesn't say it. Now, we can use the scripture that says the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that in a second. But it doesn't condemn smoking. I had somebody come up to me one time a number of years ago, and I was going to do their baptism, and they said to me, listen, I want you to do my baptism, but I want you to know that I smoke. And I said, okay. And he says, well, will you still do it? And I said to him, and I may have used this illustration before, I said to him, listen, I just want you to know something. Smoking won't get you to hell. It'll just make you smell like you've been there. That's it, right? But it won't get you to hell. Here's the thing. So there are some things in our lives that are a gray issue. And it's interesting because what Paul says, and Romans chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, yes, your body is a temple. This is what I was mentioning before. But the point is that there are some things that are not necessarily black and white. And we got to remember that. So when it comes to coming together with regards to gray issues, be careful. Be careful that we don't allow an issue to become a barrier. Are you following me? Because if an issue is something that will separate us from someone else, and if it's gray, I'm not talking black and white, but if it's gray, that's a problem. And if we are not careful, we can set ourselves above others, and that would become even a greater problem. So what are some of the basics when it comes to dealing with gray issues? What are things that we got to keep in mind? First of all, it's got to start with a devotion to God. Here's what Paul said in this portion of scripture, verse 3, but the man who loves God is known by God. Let me just say, it's got to start with God. It's got to start with our commitment to God when we are dealing with any type of issues. It's about putting God first. It's about looking at our issues and looking at the situation. And when we have gray issues in our lives, we've got to ask ourselves, is this something that will interfere with my relationship with God? Is it something that will pull me away from God? If a gray issue for some people is watching certain movies that others may consider inappropriate, if that is something that is keeping us away from God, that's a problem. Are you following me? It's interesting because it says here that the man who loves God is known by God. The word known is an intimate relationship. It means of having a very close communion. It's the same word that's used, and I've said this before, it's the same word that is used about a husband knowing his wife. Intimacy. See, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. And if I, for example, with Michelle, if I were to go out and start flirting around with other women, that would be a problem. Can somebody say, Bob it? It would be a problem. I wouldn't do it. Okay, I just wouldn't do it. And see, that's the same thing with us as believers. If there is something in our lives that will separate us from God and we start flirting around with things that are going to keep away from our devotion with God, that's a problem. And then it no longer becomes gray, it becomes black. So examine your devotion to God. Examine, are what you're doing, is it something that is interfering with who God is? Secondly, when it comes to the basics, there has to be discernment. It's interesting. Paul had very, very strong convictions in his life, and he lived by those convictions. Conviction is a strong persuasion or belief. See, everybody has convictions. You've all got strong beliefs. And if those beliefs are something that are positive, they will be something that will honor God. It will be based on back to what we just talked about, our devotion to God, right? But here's the thing. Some convictions, and there's your definition. Some convictions may not be black or white. So here's what Paul says. In verse 4, he says, so then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods. So Paul is saying, look, this is a great issue because it's about food. It's not something that will take you away from God or something that will bring you closer to God. He's saying, there's a lot of so-called gods out there. There's a gazillion of them. But realistically, as he says later on, there is but one true God, the Father, through from whom all things come and by whom we live, and there is but one Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, listen, there's a lot of stuff. It doesn't matter what is offered to these idols because it's immaterial. Sometimes the great issues are immaterial, and that's where we have to have some discernment. Is this something that is immaterial or is something that is completely wrong? Going back to my dilemma as a teen when I thought about non-Christian music. Now, non-Christian music in itself is not evil. Unless it's country music, then it's evil. No, I'm kidding. If it's music that is immoral and uses language that is not moral, yeah, then it's wrong. It's just like the food. It's interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8 says, but food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we eat, or we are better if we eat. Again, I would say there are some foods that are like a piece of heaven. we were down in Mexico last week, and we had this food, and I took a picture of it. It's shrimp. You see it? And in the midst of the shrimp, there was other type of seafood, and you see on the left that fruit was covered a little bit of coconut. Oh, man! Little piece of heaven right there. But the point is, food doesn't bring us closer or further away from God. And certain things in our lives don't bring us closer or further away from God. But it becomes a black issue when it deals with other people's conscience. So I guess that's the other thing we have to look at. He says here, be careful, however, that the exercising of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. When you sin against your brother in this way, you wound their weak conscience and sin against Christ. So we have AA that meets here every Friday night. Can you imagine on a Friday night? Now, there are some of people in this church, and I know that alcohol is not a black, not a white issue, it's a gray issue. Some people, it's not an issue at all. But let's just say, for example, on a Friday night, you come to church and alcohol is not a problem with you, and you grab that cup of a cup of wine and you walk down to AA. And you walked in there and you sat down with the AA people and you drank from your bottle. That would be a problem. How many know that would be a problem? That is definitely a problem. Okay, and what Paul is saying here is be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of who you are impacting. Be aware of the world around you. Because see, here's the thing. If we are in any way affecting someone's conscience in a negative way, there is a problem there. And then it becomes wrong. Are you following me? So we have to be very sensitive to other people's consciences and when it comes to these things. He says in verse 10 here that when we if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge, saying, man, I could do what I want, eating in an idol's temple. So you're like, I don't care what people think. I'm just going to eat, though it affects them in a negative way or not. Won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed in the idol? So in other words, the person that says, man, I shouldn't be eating this stuff. I shouldn't be drinking this stuff. But, you know, because Stuart's doing it, man, I'm going to do it as well. Or, you know, and then they get dragged into something that isn't right and causes some problems. I remember as a kid, Dad's sitting here. I remember as a kid, I used to hear Christians use language that's probably not appropriate. And I thought, man, if they do it, I could do it. How many of you know that you shouldn't be doing that, especially when you got a German father? Okay. So I remember one time we had a dog, his name was Quiche. And he wasn't eggs, he was a big dog. Anyway, so I was walking past Quiche and I heard some language, so I thought I'd use it. And it wasn't bad, okay, just saying, it wasn't bad. I said, Quiche, you old son of a gun. My dad heard something else. And I saw my dad, and I realized, oh shoot, he heard something else. And I ran. I don't know if you remember that, Dad, but I ran. And we had this little playhouse beside the dog's place. So I ran into the playhouse. Like, that's going to help, right? I mean, I can really hide. Just because somebody else does something doesn't mean you have a license to do it. You following me? Just because somebody else is involved in a situation and then you think, well, they can do it, so can I. If your conscience says don't, then don't. See, here's what it says. And I want to focus on something here. When we are in a situation, and this is where the gray becomes very gray. If an unbeliever invites you for a meal and you want to go eat whatever has been put before you without raising questions of conscience, there are times, folks, and this is where it gets tricky. There are times where we find ourselves in a place where somebody brings us into an environment and they put something before him. Now, he's talking about meat. Whatever that is, whatever the situation is, all of a sudden you find yourself in an environment. And we've got to be careful now that our gray issue doesn't offend them. So here's an example. I have a standard that when I travel, I will eat whatever's been put in front of me. That's not always a good idea. Because some of the things I've eaten through the years has not been very pleasant. Or some of the things I've drank through the years haven't been very pleasant. So I was in Cuba. And I think I may have said this to some of you. I know this is bad. But they gave me this glass. And there's this much of coffee, I tell you, in it. But it wasn't just coffee, Dave. It wasn't just coffee. It was black. And it was thick. and it was like kind of when you poured it out, it didn't really pour. It just kind of slid out slowly. And I drank this stuff because whatever was set before me, I will participate in. And I was bouncing off the walls for the rest of the day, just saying. Because I don't drink coffee. But if we find ourselves in an environment where something is put in front of us, we have to be aware that there is a principle here that he talks about. It's a principle of making sure that we don't become a stumbling block in not participating in something that they've done well for us. I think liver is evil. I don't like liver. Anybody like liver here? Oh, shame on you. I think it's evil. I think it's an organ used to clean out garbage in your body, right? But when we were in Poland, they gave us a heaping load of liver, and my wife didn't eat it. My son didn't eat it, but I had to eat it. It's just not right. Eat whatever's been set in front of you. If you don't, it could be offensive. If you don't, it could be offensive. You could be offending someone that's giving you something that's very good. And we have to be careful that we... See how tricky the gray areas are? It's not so simple to look at, but the important thing is that when we are looking at stuff, when we are looking at relating to people, we got to think of their conscience and how it will affect them. So those are some basics of dealing with gray. Let me end by talking about the basis of what we have to keep in mind when dealing with gray, and it's got to start with love, folks. It's got to start. It's got to end. It's got to be all about love. Whatever we do, however we relate to people, it's got to be about loving them. He says back in verse 1, knowledge puffs up, but love what? But love builds up. Everything we do has to be some way showing kindness and love, especially when we are dealing with gray issues. There's going to be a time in your life you're going to have to confront a gray issue, maybe in your life and maybe in someone else's life. And you might have to do it. You might have to be about talk about truth and explain the truth. Here's the thing. Truth without love is brutality. But love without truth is hypocrisy. They have to go together. There has to be a time where we have to say, listen, what you're doing there right now, it's a gray issue, but it's affecting so-and-so. And you've got to be aware of this. If you feel fine eating that meat on your own, in your own home, that's fine. But so-and-so, it's causing them some real problems. So we have to do everything in love. I love what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Now, please don't judge me, but the music thing was an issue for me. The non-Christian music. If somebody would have come to me in my teenage years and would have laughed at me and said, man, you're such an idiot. What's your problem? It's just music. Come on, man! Like it's fine. Or somebody would have put me down. I probably would have been very defensive, and I probably would have been angry, and I probably would have reacted in an inappropriate way. Now I grew up. By the way, I can. This is gonna sound funny, but I can sit down and I can worship God to jazz. Hallelujah! Come on, folks. You know, just a little bit of trumpet. Rod, where are you? Just a little bit of trumpet, a little bit of... I can worship God with non-Christian music. I've developed that, but maybe some people can't. The important thing is how we deal with people has to be done in a loving manner. You know what Paul says? Paul says here in verse 13, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again. So I will not cause them to fall. If there's something I'm going to do and it's going to affect someone in a negative way, hey, listen, folks, if there's something we do outside in the community that affects people in a negative way and it's a gray issue, don't do it. You following me? Don't do it. We want to build bridges, not barriers. We don't want to build walls. We want to build bridges to people. So let me end by doing a little bit of an evaluation here for you today. It's for Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So here's the thing, and this is what I want you to take with you here this morning. When it comes to the gray issues, when it comes to you and the gray issues. See, we live in a society right now, it's very, very post-Christian, right? There's no question about that. What was considered right or wrong years ago is so far out in the left field right now. We're in a completely different way of thinking in our society today. And some of the things that were gray today or some of the things even were black a few years ago, they're white. Like, who cares? It's not a big deal, right? So here's what you need to do. When it comes to gray issues, some questions that you need to ask yourself. First of all, ask yourself, is this issue gray because I don't want to see the light? Is this issue gray in my life because I don't care? I don't care what God has to say. I don't want to see the light. Secondly, is it gray because I haven't prayed for guidance? And there's some verses up there. Write them down. Look at them later. You know some of these very well. Is it gray because I haven't studied the Bible enough to see it clearly, this issue? Is it gray because I haven't sought wise counsel? I want you to consider what you think is gray in your life. Talk to people if you're not certain and find out, is this an issue that can cause a problem? Some other questions I encourage you to think about when it comes to the gray. First of all, obviously, is it sin? If it's sin, don't go there. Like, just don't. If the Bible speaks against it, don't go there. Second question is, will it benefit me spiritually? I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. He's talking again about eating. But if there's some, God opens up the door wide for us to be allowed in different areas. But if it's something that is going to affect us in a negative way and it's not beneficial, don't go there. Don't go there. The other thing is, will it bring bondage? The last part of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 says, I will not be mastered by anything. You know, addiction is a funny thing. It's not just about alcohol. It's not just about smoking. It's not just about drugs. It's about the amount of time we spend on our devices. Or it's about the amount of time we spend playing video games. I know of people that are up till 4 o'clock in the morning playing video games. There's a mastery there, okay? And we have to be aware of this. So, now, are video games evil? No! Maybe some. But when you spend that much time, there's a problem there. So is it something that is going to cause me bondage? Will it defile God's temple? And we talked about that earlier. Is it something that's going to destroy I've got a crazy imagination. I imagine the Bible says our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. I imagine the Holy Spirit being my body, okay? Okay, come on, focus on me. Imagine this for just a second. He's sitting inside me, and I'm eating junk food, and he's like, oh, what is that smell? Woo! Or I'm smoking, and he's and he's wearing a gas mask. Okay, like I know he doesn't do it like that, but are we defiling what God has created? And lastly, will it cause someone else to stumble? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, be careful, however, that the exercising of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to someone else. I want to end with this verse. Well, it's hard to read. It says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. See, here's the thing I want to end with here this morning, folks. People are watching you. People are watching us and how we respond. What kind of language do we use? What kind of things do we participate in? What kind of thing? And it's not restrictive because we read just recently, everything is permissible. But is it something that will draw people away? Is it something that will put up a barrier? Is it something that will keep us from being a good example to someone else? And if it is, folks, get rid of it. Following me? Get rid of it. Because the last thing we want to do is to repel people. We want to draw people to Christ. if it's something that becomes a great issue that you're okay with, maybe there's a place that you can participate. Maybe I can listen to my music in my car. But if it's going to be something that's going to be offensive to someone else, I'll just put on Praise 106.5. I know that's offensive to some people as well. It's always the same music over and over and over again. But anyway. But find a place that separates you so that what you feel is a non-issue doesn't affect someone else. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask Sonia and the team to come up at this time. I want you in the closing moments of the service, let's take a self-examination. Can we do that? Can we look at ourselves for just a moment and say, God, are there areas in my life that maybe they're gray, maybe I don't see anything right or wrong, but maybe they have gone over the line. Maybe they are black in your sight. Maybe we've participated in things that are not right. Because of culture, because of our society around us, we found ourselves doing things that we know God is not pleased with. Can I ask you just for a moment to examine your heart? And there might be nothing, but if there is something, can I ask you to say, God, I need help. I need deliverance from this. I need to take the right steps. And if that's you, and you know there are things in your life that you know aren't right between you and God, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to do anything crazy here this morning. I just want to pray for you. And if you're saying there are stuff in my life that I need help in, can I ask you just to put up your hand? I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you for these hands that have gone up. Thank you for the boldness. The willingness to say, Lord, I know there's issues here that I got to make right. Father, these hands, they aren't just seen by me. They're seen by you. And you want to help them to be overcomers, not to be overcome with whatever the situation is. So, Lord, I pray that your strength, your provision, your encouragement, your intervention, your Holy Spirit would come upon these folks in an incredibly encouraging way. That you would help them to say no to what they need to say no to and help them to embrace that which you have called them to embrace. So in Jesus' name, Lord, help us to live in a way that doesn't create barriers, but help us to look for bridges, opportunities this week to share our love, your love for others to them. Give us an opportunity this week, God, to speak into someone's life. Maybe to share our testimony, maybe to give them a smile, maybe to just listen. But Lord, I pray we'd be very conscious not to allow any issue to interfere with our relationship with others, and most importantly, our relationship with you. So God, you're faithful. We love you. We commit ourselves to you. We commit this week to you as well, in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand as we close in a song. Next week, I want to talk about, and please be in prayer, how do we build bridges to some of the other religions that are out there? So please pray for that. Let's worship God in closing at this time.